morning. Today's message is very simple. Probably won't last very long. Some of you probably say, well, amen, finally. If you're a seasoned Christian, this message may be older for you. But God has put it on my heart and burdened me that I know that there are many people who come and we are now their surrogate church family. But how wonderful it would be if they are part of our church family because they've accepted Christ as their Savior and they followed Him through baptism. Today's message is salvation message. Paul tells us and reminds us that today is a day of salvation. I want to just walk through Scripture with you and kind of give you a little journey. If you have your Bibles, I want to begin in Psalm chapter 139. Psalm chapter 139, and we will turn to John 3:16. Psalm 139. We need to be very much aware of something in our life. We need to be very much aware of how short our lives are. We need to be very much aware that we don't know if today is our last day or will it be tomorrow or this week or another 30 or 40 years. We don't know, but we need to know something about what God has in store for us. Psalm 139, beginning in verse 13. David writes this, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days for me were written before me, were written in your book, before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." Move down to verse 23. It says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me to the way everlasting." Let's pray together. Father God, today, Holy Spirit, we just give this service to you, that you move freely in our lives. God, maybe there's someone here who does not know you as Savior. Lord, they know church, they know religion, they know denomination, they know something about you, Lord, but something is missing. And that's that relationship they have with you personally. God, maybe there's a Christian here who's living outside of your will. Lord, maybe they know that they've given their life to you. They know that they are saved. But God, there's some sin that's come in between their relationship with you. Lord, we pray today that they give that over to you. And they're restored back into fullness of relationship. They sense this closeness to you. Have your way this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The psalmist tells us that our time is here and that God already knows the number of our days. You don't know that and I don't know that. I'm glad I don't know how long I would be here. I would be miserable if I knew I would die in 3 years. We would be miserable if we knew the time frame of our life. We don't need to know that. We need to live every day as if it were our last. Enjoy every day. Live it to the fullness. And live it for the glory of God. See this time frame that God has given us. We have a problem. We have a sin problem. Some people don't like to hear about a message about sin, but you know what? It's a problem, and we have to address the problem. God has already addressed it for us. We just have to claim what He's done for us already. See, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." that leads no one out. So in this time frame that the psalmist writes about, that God already knows the number of our days, we have this sin problem that we have to deal with. Let's turn over to John 3:16 very quickly, 16 through 18. Because see, God already addresses this sin problem. John 3:16 through 18. He says, "For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." So this lifespan that we have, as many days, as many years as it may be, we have this sin problem that has to be addressed. For us not to address this sin problem, what we're doing is we're allowing the consequences of the sin that we have to be paid for when our life ends. God says, "I love you so much. I love you so much is I want to do something for you. I want to send my Son, who's me in the flesh." Jesus is 100% God, 100% man. God in the flesh. We call him Emmanuel, God in the flesh. "I'll send him and pay the price for your sin on Calvary's cross." You know what Jesus did? He came and fulfilled what the Father sent him for. He went to a cross and died. See, his blood had to be shed for your sins and for mine. That's the only way that we can have eternal life. That's the only way that our sins can be paid for, is through Jesus. We cannot be good enough to overcome the debt of sin that we owe to God. Our righteousness is filthy rags, God's word says. We can never, ever work our way to heaven. It's not Jesus plus good works. It's not Jesus plus living a good life. It's Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. You can never be good enough to get to heaven. If you could, Jesus died for nothing at all. Only in Christ. So God says, "I love you so much, I'm going to send my Son for your sins." So we begin to understand a little bit more that our sin has this great penalty. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." The wages of sin is death. See, there's two kinds of death. There's a physical death, but there's also a spiritual death. We're all going to die physically. This body just won't last. But there's a spiritual death. So sin has its consequences to it. Sin has a consequence of its spiritual death. Not that our soul dies in hell, but it's separated from God for all eternity. God is life, and God is light. And to be separated from him is death apart from Christ Jesus. For the wages of sin is death. But the latter part of that verse says, "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, this is what's really neat, is that when God sent Jesus Christ to the cross to die for our sins, listen, he died for the sins of the world, both past, present, and future. But it doesn't cover everybody unless we receive what he's done. Understand it. So if I go down to Opelousas, I go to Sterling Automotive. Jared, I go buy you a truck, man. I go pay for that truck down at Sterling Motors. Four-wheel drive, jacked up, GMC, son. It's loaded, son, to the gill. I come back to Ville Platte and I say, "Jared, I went down there and paid for it, cash, man. Matter of fact, I even paid the insurance for the next 5 years on that truck. You don't have anything to worry about, but you need to go down there and get it." Now, Jared can go around and tell everybody he wants to how Brother Kevin blessed me with this four-wheel drive truck, man. It's my favorite color. It's everything. It's loaded out to the max. It's jacked up. Son, I tell you what he did for me. I don't know why he loved me so much. He did that for me. But I've been wanting a truck like that for so long. But Jared still has to go get it. As long as Jared never goes gets that truck, it's not his. It's bought and paid for. The insurance is paid for. Everything's done. The paperwork is just waiting for him to go sign his name to the contract and walk away with the title. It's his. But if Jared just goes around and brags about how wonderful his truck's going to be and how nice it's going to have to have a new ride and all this thing, and boy, he can't wait to go hunting that. He can talk about all he wants to, but unless he goes down there and gets it, it's never his. You see, he has to accept that gift. He has to accept it. Oh, what Jesus did on the cross. Listen, we can go around and play religion all we want. I don't care what title you call yourself. You can call yourself Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, Pentecostal, whatever, non-denominational, whatever. They got some strange names out there too. You can call yourself what you want. And you may think you're a religious person. You know what that is? That's just like going around telling everybody what Jesus did for you, but you never accepted it for yourself. You never went and got the gift. You see, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's something about a gift. You can't work for it. If you worked for it, it's no longer a gift. It's a payment. It's a gift because someone else paid for it, and because they love you, they're extending it out and giving it out to you. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough to get it. It's just there for you to accept, to make it yours, to open it up and say, wow. And to enjoy whatever is in that gift. For Christ, he's offered to us. Salvation is a gift to us in him. And all he says you have to do is receive that gift. Receive it. Accept it. You don't have to work for it. You'll never earn it. You can never be good enough. I've already shown you favor to give it to you. How many people, Sunday in and Sunday out, hear message about Jesus Christ, and they walk away? Oh, I've been to church today. Oh, it was a good service. Man, the music was great, and well, the preaching was good. Yeah, he stepped on Sister So-and-so's toes. They never applied to their own life. And the gift of salvation is offered, and it stays right where it's at. They never take it and make it theirs. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brother Kevin, how do I accept this gift of salvation? See, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13. It says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. God didn't make it difficult. He said, if you believe in your heart and profess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. So you mean I don't have to go to church every Sunday? So you mean I don't have to do this? I don't have to go on these mission trips? I have to do this, these retreats? I have to do all? No. That's for growth. You have to get to home base first. Very simple. Believe in your heart and profess with your mouth. There's something about the faith in your heart coming through your mouth going from your mind into your mouth, expressing that faith, receiving Christ into your life. We do that by praying and asking Jesus just to enter our life. Lord, please save me. See, the Bible tells us that we are saved through faith and repentance. What's really amazing is that when we are lost, the Holy Spirit pursues after us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 tells us that we are dead in our transgressions and sins. We are dead in our transgressions and sins. But then verse 5, that same chapter comes back and says, but we were made alive in Christ. What happens is when we're lost, the Holy Spirit pursues us. He takes a gospel message like this and makes it alive to us. He regenerates our heart. What he means is that we were spiritually dead. The Holy Spirit touches us. We made spiritually alive. We see Jesus for who he is, and we respond to him in faith and repentance of our sin. The Holy Spirit brings this movement in our life, and we see our sin for what it is, and we confess that. Lord, I'm a sinner, and I have the sin problem, God, and only you can resolve it. I can't do anything about it. And God, by faith today, I don't know how you do it. You have grace on me. I accept your gift of salvation. Put my faith in you and in you alone. We just pray, talking to God, communicating with him. Maybe today you're sitting in this congregation. Maybe you're watching by internet, and there's never been a point in your life and never been a point in a time in your life that you repented of your sin and asked Christ, invited him, received that gift of salvation, invited him to save you, invited him to be your Lord and your Savior. You can do that right now. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You don't have to say just my words. You say your words. God wants to hear from you. I don't know what to say, Brother Kevin. It's very simple. As I lead you, you pray this in your heart. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that you love me, and I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Today, I repent of the sin in my life. You already know each one of them. I give them to you, and I accept him into my life as my Savior. I accept what he did on Calvary's cross. He paid for my sin. I accept the gift. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for living in my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit to live this life that you've called me to. Thank you for loving me so much that you want to spend eternity with me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, one like it, in the sincerity of your heart, you've invited Jesus into your life. You came in here a creation of God, and you'll leave out a child of God. See, there's a point in time that you just accepted Christ, that you were lost. You were dead in your transgressions and sin, and the Holy Spirit saved you. He brought you to the point you responded in faith and repentance, and you were born again. You were birthed into the kingdom of God. And what's really neat about being birthed into the kingdom of God, you can never be unbirthed.
We are now.
You don't lose what God has done for you. God holds you by his faith, not by yours. He holds you by his hand, but sometimes our faith is very weak.
And they followed him.
But our faith in Jesus Christ, you see in John chapter 10.
Paul tells us and reminds us that today is a day of salvation. I want to just walk through scripture with you and kind of give you a little journey. If you have your Bible,
begin
in Psalm chapter 139.
Jesus says this, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish.
No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all.
We need to be very
and
much
no
aware
one can snatch them
of something in our
out of
life.
My Father's hand.
We need to be very much aware
that's really neat
of how
when
short
I read that,
our lives
as
are.
As Jesus is saying,
we need
listen,
to be
this
very
is
much
you.
Aware that we don't know if today is our last
you
day
just placed
or
your
will
soul
it be tomorrow
Jesus
or
hand.
This week or another 30
this is all
40
who
years.
The Father
we don't
brings,
know, but we need to be
I
know,
lose
we
none
need to
of
know
them.
Something about what
Jesus
God has saying. In store for us.
He said, the Father
Psalm 139,
and I are
verse
one.
13.
And the Father will lose none.
David writes this.
How can Jesus say that
you created
thousands,
my
and, thousands and thousands of years ago?
You knit me together in my mother's womb.
It's because he already knows your life.
I praise you because
mine.
I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
And he is sure of what you do, what the work he's done in you, in your response and faith and repentance. Is that he can say, you're my child now. I can't disown you. You're adopted into the kingdom. You're birthed spiritually now. There's nothing in all your life that you could ever do that I would say, oops, I didn't see that one coming. That's the assurance that Jesus gives to us. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of Jesus Christ so that you may know that you have eternal life. So what do you want? Listen, Christian, we don't have to get up every day thinking, am I saved today or not? Am I lost? Am I going to heaven when I die? No, we don't have to do that because of what God has done in our life. He's made us brand new. He has transformed us. We are in his kingdom. We are heirs to his family. He does not lose any of us. You can't even wiggle out of his hands. And sometimes we try real hard. You accepted Christ today as your Savior. You were born again. Heaven is yours. Not based on your goodness, but based on God's faithfulness. Not based on how well you do this Christian thing, but based on that God's word says, you are saved. You are mine. You are my child. I will lose none of them. You know what we do when we're born again? What we do when we profess our faith, Jesus wants us to be baptized. He tells us in Matthew 28, verse 19, he's going to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Make disciples of them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus was baptized to give us an example. All Christians who are able and capable are baptized. Because that's what Jesus wants us to do. Baptism does this. Two things. It demonstrates to the world that Christ has done something different in us. That we're a new creature. If you think about the way we baptize in this baptistry, we go by submersion. That's the biblical model. That we are submersed and brought up. That we accept the death and burial of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. For our own. We claim what Jesus did on the cross for ourselves. And we're showing the world that Jesus has done this in me. I claim what he's done as mine. Also tells the world that we die to our old self and we're resurrected to a new life in Christ. We're telling the world we're not the same people anymore. You know what? I may smell the same. It may take a little while for some of those old habits to get out, but I'm not the same. I live for a different reason now. I don't live for myself. I live for God. I live to pursue Christ, and I'm going to heaven when I leave this world, and I want to take as many people along with me as I can go, as we'll go. That's, it changes our perspective of things. You know, there's some things, yeah, in our lives, some habits that we had, maybe some sinful things that go immediately. And there's some things that God just has to work out of us a little bit at a time. Just has to work out of us. And it may take years to work those things out so that we truly are a reflection of Christ. But I've learned this. The closer you get to God, the more those little things become magnified to you and you and you just give it over to Christ. You cannot outlive a sinful habit. You have to just give it over. You can work so hard for months, Lord, I'm not doing this anymore. But you were trying to do it, and not God. Well, you see, don't be scared of living this life for Christ. He empowers you with His Holy Spirit to live set free, to live the life and the power that only He can give you. So question comes down today, have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Did you pray that prayer just a moment ago to receive Christ? If you have, I want to challenge you to do something. I want to challenge you. There's a little green sheet of paper that our ladies told you about just a little earlier. I want you just to write on this your name, address, phone number. If you want to sit down with me in my office and we just walk through scriptures, you can ask me questions that you want to ask me. So, Brother Kevin, I'm a little confused about this. I'm not certain about this. Listen, we'll take God's word and we'll just walk through it. You can say, I've given my life to Christ at church. I prayed with you at prayer. What do I do next? You just let me know. Here's your communication card with us. Miss Amy will call you this week and just get in touch with you. Said, I like to sit down with people that I lead to the Lord. Why? Because it gives you an opportunity one-on-one to let's just talk. It's not scaring you. It's not. No, it's just me. Me. That you have an opportunity. Let's just communicate about your decision in Christ and help you get that step forward out there. And you know what? Kirk DeVillier teaches a next step class on Sunday morning. It's like right after this service, between this service and the next service, starting at 9 o'clock. It's about an 8-week class to help you get a better understanding of what your new beliefs are. Help you understand biblical principles to apply to your life. Maybe you did not accept Christ this morning, but you're interested in that class. You're interested. Because most people who go through that class come out like, wow, I did learn a lot. Man, I have a better understanding about where we're at. I have a better understanding about seeing the Bible the way that I see it now and the way that God wants me to see it. It's real important for your growth as a Christian. You meet with me, we talk. You gave your life to Christ. Or if you're still questioning, We'll work together through that. We'll schedule your time for baptism. During this service or the next service. Why? Because it's that important. Baptism is important. It's important for your walk with Christ. It's important that you have obedience to Christ in that. Because if Christ said we should do it, then I don't think we can find any excuse not to. Just follow through with it. Jesus loves you. He sent His Son to die on a cross for you to pay for your sins. Have you accepted His free gift of salvation today? Let's pray together. Father God, today, how good You are to us, Lord. Father, we don't deserve it. But Your love is so great for us. You don't care where we've been. You don't care how many mess-ups we've had. Lord, You don't care about the things that's going on that we hold back for. God, You don't care about our apprehensions. Lord, You just want to save us and then begin a process of transformation in our life to look more like You. God, I pray today that there are some who profess their faith this morning, prayed, receiving You as their Savior. And they communicate that with us so we can help them in their journey with You. Lord, I pray that You have Your way in this service. Have Your way, Holy Spirit, move freely in Christ's name. Amen.